So in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, in Hilchas Birchas HaMazon, we're told, Noagin Lachasos HaSakin B'Shas Birchas HaMazon. We have a practice that we cover over the knives at the time in which we bench. And the Beis Yosef there quotes two different reasons why this has become the practice. Number one, he says, because there was once a terrible story that somebody got so depressed, got so sad over the fact that they were saying of an Vnei Yerushalayim, and they were recounting the story of the Churban, that they took the knife that was on the table and they stabbed themselves to death. And because of that, we forever make sure that we keep the knives off of the table, which is a very interesting reason, because most of us don't get so carried away when we say Vnei Yerushalayim. Gives us a little of a perspective of perhaps what we're supposed to be feeling, what we're supposed to be thinking when we say Vnei Yerushalayim. That's the first reason that the Beis Yosef gives in the name of the Shibalei HaLeket. However, he then quotes a rokeach, that a second reason for doing so is because Shulchano Shal Adam Mechaper Lo Kimizbeach. The Shulchan of a person is considered like a Mizbeach. Uba'avne Mizbeach Siv, and when we're told about how to construct, how to build a Mizbeach, we're told, Lo Sanif Aleim Barzel. You're not allowed to have any metal involved in building the Mizbeach itself. Now the Ramban discusses on Chumash what kind of metals are not allowed. Is it only Barzel, or is it other metals as well? But the simple understanding of the Pasuk and of most of the Rishonim is that all metals are included. You're not allowed to have a metal involved in building the Mizbeach. Why not? Shehar Barzel, famously, we're told in the Gemara, Shehar Barzel Mekatzer Yamav Shel Adam, because Barzel, metal, is something that is made to reduce, to abbreviate, to terminate the life of a person. That's what you kill somebody with. Mizbeach, however, the Mizbeach is made Laharich Yamav Shel Adam. It's made to extend, to prolong the life of a person. And it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that we should take a knife made out of metal, which is made to shorten people's lives, and use that on the table, on the Mizbeach, which is made to prolong, to extend people's lives. So that's the basic understanding. This is why we take knives off the table at the time of Berachas HaMazon. Now the question is, why during the meal are we not concerned about this, and only during Berachas HaMazon? If Shulchanon Shel Adam Mechaper Lo, then it should be throughout the meal. It shouldn't only be at Berachas HaMazon. That's a very good question. But this concept is not only found by Berachas HaMazon, it's something that we find as well by another halacha. We're learning Hilchas Mezuzah here in the morning, and the Das Kedoshim, which is a famous sefer written on Hilchas Mezuzah. So the Das Kedoshim writes from the Baal Shem Tov that he thinks, the Baal Shem Tov said that you should not use a metal case for a mezuzah when you hang it up on the wall. We discussed last week about having any hepsik in between the scroll of the mezuzah and the doorpost. But even if you're going to allow a person to put it into some sort of case, not like the Vilna Gaon suggested, but you're going to allow a person to put it in a case, the Baal Shem Tov suggested that you shouldn't put it in a case made of barzel, made of metal. Why not? Because he says, it says by mezuzah, l'man yirbu yimeichem v'yimei v'neichem al ha'adama, that this is the way you're going to have an arichas yamim, is if you hang a mezuzah up on the door. And now you're going to go ahead and take the thing that is mekatzer yamav shel adam, you're going to take a piece of metal and house the thing that is marich yamav shel adam in it. That doesn't make any sense. And therefore the Das Kedoshim argues, b'shem de Baal Shem Tov, this is something that perhaps we should refrain from doing, just like we take the knives off of the table by Berachas HaMazon when we sit at a table. Now in general, this is a very difficult comment. Rashi writes on Chumash, and we have the Gemara tells us that we shouldn't have the barzel, which is Mekatzer Yamav Shel Adam, be near the Mizbeach, which is Marich Yamav Shel Adam. When you think about it critically, is the barzel itself Mekatzer Yamav Shel Adam? What, the sword itself is Mekatzer Yamav? It's not true. It's the person who's Mekatzer Yamav Shel Adam. I take a sword and I go and I do something with it, and unfortunately that leads to a negative outcome. But it has nothing to do with the sword itself. The sword itself is not committing the crime. It's the person who's committing the crime. So why do we say you cannot have any barzel near the Mizbeach? Because the barzel is an awful thing, because that's Mekatzer Yamav Shel Adam. It's not Mekatzer Yamav Shel Adam. It's the person that is Mekatzer Yamav Shel HaAdam. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz points this out. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz writes that we find this in a couple of different contexts. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz there quotes a Medrash in Shir HaShirim, where he says that Rabbi Yeshua, whenever he used to see the stone that his Rebbe, Rebbe Lezer, used to sit on to teach Torah, to give the shir, it says that he used to go over to it, and he would give it a kiss. The stone that his Rebbe sat on, he would give it a kiss, and he said, Ha'evan hazoz dama lahar Sinai. This stone that Rebbe Lezer used to sit on is as if it's Har Sinai itself. V'zesha yoshev Allah, and Rebbe Lezer himself, who used to sit on the stone and give the shir, he was dama la'aron bris Hashem. He was like the Aron Kodesh, and the stone that he sat on was like Har Sinai. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz points out, what's so significant about the stone? It's just a stone, bottom line, nothing changed. And he said, what you see from here is that when you have something that is used for a Dvarm Shebekdusha, when you have a stone that is used by Rebbe Lezer to sit on, that automatically becomes intrinsically, inherently Kadosh. Everything that Rebbe Lezer embodied now goes into that stone itself, and now that becomes an enduring and everlasting Kedusha that's in the stone, to the point that Rabbi Shua went ahead and kissed that stone. Even though the stone did nothing, it was just the conduit for him to give the shiur, but still, Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz points out that you see, when you have a Davar Kadosh that's involved with something that seems to be not significant at all, it automatically now takes the properties intrinsically of the Davar Kadosh that was involved with it. And he says the same goes in the opposite direction. Why are we told that HaBarzel Mekatzer Yamav Shaladam? Why are we told that the metal itself is Mekatzer the Yamav? It's not the metal, it's the person who goes and commits the crime with the metal that really is Mekatzer the Yamav. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, what you see from here is the metal now becomes tainted. Metal becomes tainted because that's the item that's used, even though the metal did nothing wrong and the metal is not really involved. But since the metal is the thing that is connected to that which commits the crime of murder, therefore the metal itself is now considered to be something bad. There was a very prominent and famous personality in the late 1800s and the first half of the 1900s by the name of Rabbi Isaac Sher. Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Sher was the Rosh Hashiva in Slabodka, and he was one of the great people involved in the Tenuas HaMusar, in the Musar movement. So he made a comment in Parshas Yisro, the habit, that he made a comment that you think about Kabbalas HaTorah. And we're told when the Jewish people are in the depths of Mitzrayim, so we're told over there that Tavdenes Elokim al Harazeh, the climax of Yitzias Mitzrayim is going to be Har Sinai, Kabbalas HaTorah. That's what we have to look forward to. So he says, we know that it came to Har Sinai and everyone was readying themselves for 7 weeks. And then it came 3 days before they had the Shloshes Yimei Hagbalah. And then we're told that at the occasion of Har Sinai, all the birds stopped chirping and all the whales stopped wailing and everybody stopped doing whatever they do and the whole world stopped. And now we're ready for Kabbalas HaTorah. Says Rabbi Isaac Sher, God gets up on the mountain and he says, what are we waiting to hear? Something amazing. God says, this is what the climax is. This is the pinnacle. We've reached it. Finally, you're ready for it. What does he tell us? Lo Tirtzach. What do you mean? We know Lo Tirtzach. That's the most obvious halach in the world. This is what we're looking forward to. And Lo Tinov. Don't go ahead and have relations with somebody else's wife. I mean, who would have thought otherwise? This is what Kabbalas HaTorah was needed for. So he says, take for a mashal for yourself. Imagine the Gadol HaDor. Undisputed Gadol HaDor sends out a message on all the TV stations, on all the news channels and everything. And he says, I'm coming to America or wherever I'm traveling from. I'm going to be there. Make sure you rent out the biggest stadium in the world because I have a big proclamation to make. And go to the mikveh before you come to that stadium. And everyone has to be ready. And we're spending millions of dollars to rent out the stadium and to get everything ready. And everyone's going to the mikveh and everything's great. And the Gadol HaDor gets up and he says, boys and girls, I have a completely amazing announcement for you that you've never heard of. Make sure when you go home to you don't kill your neighbor on your way home. What, like we would say, he's crazy. What's wrong with this person? This is what we spend millions of dollars for? Says Rabbi Isaac Sher. So how are we supposed to understand what happened by Kabbalas HaTorah? It doesn't make any sense. If it would happen in our days, we would laugh the person off and say there's something wrong with them. So he says there must be something different going on here. And he suggests that perhaps the Torah goes out of its way. Right after the halachos of the Aseres HaDibros, we're told the halachos of how to build a Mizbeach. And there we're told, Lo Sanef Aleihem Barzel, make sure you do not build a Mizbeach with Barzel, with anything that's metal. And make sure also says the Gemara, Lo Sala B'malos HaMizbechi. The Pasuk says right after Kabbalas HaTorah, when you build a Mizbeach, make sure that you go in small steps, make sure that you make it in a way that it's going to be Tzanua, that it's going to be no Gili Arayis at all. And Rashi points out that even though all the Kohanim were wearing pants, there's nothing really erva going on here, everybody's wearing pants, but still, the Torah tells me that. So Rabbi Isaac Sher suggested that the reason why that's put in the Torah immediately following the Aseres HaDibros is to give us a perspective on what Lo Sirtzach and Lo Sinof actually mean. It's not what you'd think. It's not Lo Sirtzach, don't murder, Lo Sinof, don't commit adultery. We all knew that already. But perhaps the Torah is coming to highlight to me something a lot more sensitive than just a simple understanding of the Pasuk. And that is that even though a Kohen's going to go ahead and wear pants, and even though he's going to be careful, and even though there's nothing to worry about, but still, the Torah is saying, don't have any affiliation, any association whatsoever with Lo Sinof either. I don't want you to get close to anything like that. And that's what the Torah says, even though the Kohen is going and being careful and he's wearing clothing and he has pants on and there's no real Gili Arayis, but still, the Torah says when it comes to the Mizbeach, you cannot have any kind of association whatsoever with anything that even looks a shemetz of Lo Sinof. That's already going to disqualify that Mizbeach. And so too by Lo Sirtzach. The Torah tells us not only that we shouldn't murder, we knew that already, but the Torah says don't have any kind of association with anything that has anything to do with murder either. And therefore, don't even use something which is the accomplice to a murder, which is a piece of metal. That's what Rabbi Isaac Sher is what the Torah is coming to teach us here. Not the simple Lo Sirtzach and the simple Lo Sinof. What we have here is teaching us the sensitivity of being careful even for something that has a very slight affiliation or association with Lo Sinaf or Lo Sirtzach, and that's what the Torah means to say. So this is what we find again, what we're told, that we shouldn't have the knives on the table because of Lo Sanaf Aleihem Barzel. It doesn't make sense that that which extends a person's life should be used together with something that takes away a person's life, that limits a person's life. But the problem is that by Bris Milah, the Rambam writes something very unusual. The Rambam says, "Bakol malin afila bitzar." A person is allowed to use anything to perform the mitzvah of Bris Milah. You can use a rock, you can use a piece of glass, you can use a piece of metal, but the Rambam says, "Mitzvah min amuvchar lamo bebarzal." The Rambam says, we go out of our way, even though you can use any of the above, the Rambam says, we go out of our way specifically to use a knife made from barzel. Now, barzel is the bad word. Barzel, isn't that the thing which limits people's life? Isn't barzel that which the item which is used to kill people? And that's why we refrain from using barzel by the mizbeach. That's why we don't have it by the mezuzah, perhaps. That's why all these different things. Barzel is something that's very important to stay away from. So how come all of a sudden when it comes to a bris milah, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch write that we go out of our way to use a barzel? So some achronim say that, well, that's the easiest way to do a bris milah. The less painful is by using a knife that's made out of barzel. So pragmatically, that's the smartest thing to use. But the Prisha quotes something fascinating. He says, really, you're right. Really, we shouldn't really be using barzel. But he says that there's a fascinating history here why we use the barzel. And he says as follows. He says that when Tzipora, the pasuk says Tzipora took a tzur, which means a rock, she took a rock and she went ahead and performed the bris milah on her son. She was the wife of Moshe Rabbeinu. They had a child. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't available. She went ahead and did the bris milah with a rock. How was she able to do it with a rock? Because even a rock is able to be used. So when did that change in history, that we no longer use rocks and pieces of glass, and now we use specifically barzel? So he suggests the following based on a medrash. He says that at the time that David went to fight against Goliath, so David was not a big warrior. David came along, the psukim tell us, he comes along, he picks up five rocks, and he thinks he's going to be able to destroy Goliath with these five rocks. Goliath is standing there in full gear, full armor, and he has the big metal casing around himself. How do you think in your right mind, David HaMelech, that your five little rocks are going to be able to make any sort of impression on the life of Goliath? It's a joke. He's standing there with the barzel over his face. It's not going to do anything. So it says over there in the Medrash that HaMalach HaMamuna Al HaAvanim, the Malach who's in charge of the rocks, had a discussion with the Malach who's in charge of the metals. And this Malach is talking to the other one. He says, hey, we have a problem here. David HaMelech is trying to fight off Goliath. And it's not going to work, because Goliath is standing there with all the armor, he's all covered up with the metal, and there's no way that David HaMelech is going to win with his little rocks. So do me a favor. I want that you should give up on the property of metal, and even though normally metal is able to shield itself from a rock that comes to it, I want you to give up on the property of the metal, which is normal, and now allow for the rock to make an indentation, or to penetrate through the barzel itself. Very uncharacteristic of the metal, but I want this to happen. And they made a deal with each other that it's going to go. And in return for that, the Malach said, we're going to pay you back for this. And from here on in, every time, miyom v'hala, from here on in, whenever there's a bris milah, we're going to use the metal out of thanks to you. Which I thought was a fascinating medrash. Even though it's true that barzel is something that we might stay away from in other cases, but over here by the medrash, we're told that by bris milah, there's a backstory. Why is it that the metal is specifically used when it comes to a bris milah? Perhaps some say it's because that's the easiest way to do a bris milah. But others suggest the reason why is because there's a whole story and a history here with David HaMelech and Goliath, and therefore as a payback to the metal for giving up on itself a little bit to kill Goliath, we go ahead and pay back that favor by using the metal for the bris milah. Now the Gemara in Sanhedrin learns from our Parsha a very important halacha, and that is with regard to carrying a weapon, carrying a gun in a Beis HaKnesses, in a shul or in a Beis HaMedrash. And this is a very relevant halacha, unfortunately, in our days, when we have security needs, and we know, let's say in Eretz Yisrael, in many shuls they have people who are hired to go ahead and hold a gun or hold a weapon, or even in America we have people who perhaps are authorized and licensed to hold a gun, and the question is, are they allowed to enter into a shul while holding that? So the Gemara learns from a pasuk in our parsha, Vayar Pinchas. Pinchas sees the terrible story that took place. Vayakam mitoch ha'eda. We're told that he goes up, Vayikach ronach biyado, and then he goes ahead and he takes matters into his own hands and he kills the people who deserve to lose their life. Rashi writes over there, what does it mean, Vayikach ronach biyado? He goes ahead, Vayakam mitoch ha'eda. He gets up from where he was and he goes to get his knife. Rashi says, Mikan She'nechnasim b'kli zayin debeis ha-medrash. Pinchas was a big tzaddik. He's sitting and learning with everybody else. Now he hears about a terrible story. He doesn't have his gun with him. Of course not. You're not allowed to have a gun in the beis medrash. Therefore, Pinchas leaves the beis medrash, goes home to get his gun, and then he goes to commit the murder that was necessary to be committed at that time. That's the Gemara in our parsha, that one is not allowed to bring a weapon, a gun, or anything of that nature into the Beis HaKnesses or the Beis HaMedrash. Now, this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. Simen Kufnun Aleph, the Mechaber says, Mutu li kanes b'Beis HaKnesses, a person is allowed to wear a belt, you're allowed to wear a wallet, you're allowed to have shoes in the Beis HaKnesses, it's not like the Beis HaMikdash. However, the Shulchan Aruch says, you're not allowed to have Kli Zayin in the Beis HaMedrash, you're not allowed to go in with a sakan arach, with a long knife that could really damage somebody, or barosh megula, to go in with something that is a dangerous kind of weapon. Where does this come from? So this Shulchan Aruch is really coming from the Tashbetz, that's where they quoted from, and the Tashbetz explains the reason why. The reason why you're not allowed to have a weapon in a Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash is because tefillah is ma'areches yamav shel adam. Tefillah is something which gives us a long life. And the sakan, as we said before, the knife or the weapon is something that takes away somebody's life. It eliminates life. And therefore we say that it doesn't make sense that you should have something which is going to prolong life at the same time as you're holding something which is made to terminate life. And that's why we assume that you're not really supposed to bring a weapon into the Beis HaKnesses or the Beis HaMedrash. Now Rabbi Avadia Yosef talks about whether or not this is the case as well. Let's say you have a chayal who's davening b'yechidus. He doesn't go to shul. And he doesn't enter the Beis HaKnesses with his weapon, but he's davening at home by himself and he's holding his gun. Should we assume that they should put it on the side, obviously in a safe way? Should we assume that it's necessary to put it on the side even when you're davening b'yechidus? Or does this halacha mean davening in general is something that is ma'arichin yamav shel adam? It gives us an arichas yamim if we daven. So therefore we should never have a weapon with us because of the svar that we've been discussing. So Rabbi Avadia Yosef says that perhaps this only applies in a Beis HaKnesses because the Shulchan Aruch chooses to write this halacha of not having a weapon in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. He doesn't write it in Hilchos Tefillah. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the halacha in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. Why? He should really write it in general with regard to Hilchos Tefillah, that whenever a person is involved in davening, they should not have a weapon on them because davening is Ma'arichin Yamav and a weapon is Mekatzer Yamav. But yet, the Shulchan Aruch says that we put it in the place which is Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, which would seem to indicate that it's restricted only to a Beis HaKnesses and not to Tefillah. This is what Rabbi Avadia Yosef felt. Someone can infer from the Shulchan Aruch. My father disagreed. He didn't think it was correct at all. He said the Rambam is someone that really puts a lot of careful attention as to where everything should be put in specific prakim and specific halachos. But the Shulchan Aruch is just teaching us how to live. And my father felt that it's not fair to go and make a diak in the Shulchan Aruch just because he puts this halacha in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses instead of in Hilchos Tefillah. He did not think that was an indication that that we can extrapolate from there that if a person is davening chidus, they don't have to get rid of the weapon. Anyway, this is a very important halacha, and it's something that obviously if it's dangerous to leave the gun outside, obviously you leave it outside. But I remember, I think when I visited Karen Biavna when I was a child with my parents, I remember they had a room outside where they used to leave all their guns, and they had somebody who used to stand there, the shomer, used to stand and watch everybody's locker with the gun in it, because when you enter into a Beis HaMedrash or a Beis HaKnesses, one is not really supposed to, theoretically, one is really not supposed to have anything that is Mekatzer Yamav Shel Adam with them at that time.